welcome to the sixth ranked footy pod of the 2021 season. It's another busy episode as we hear from Liam Doyle after his move to a new club in the US of A, plus Laxey's Max Murley reflects on winning August Player of the Month award. As always, I'm joined by a man that puts the ooh into Zoom, Disco Dave Norton.
Hi everyone.
How are you?
Not too bad, mate. How are you?
Good. We must apologise again, no pod last week. We were saying it's becoming a more every other week affair, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'd like to say it's probably because we're putting more effort into the production, getting better guests, but it's nothing like that, is it? We're just busy boys.
Busy boys. Well, obviously you're a man in the High Castle now on the news desk, you see. So, you know, there's a lot more demands on your time, aren't there?
There are. But I am trying to make sure there's a slither there for the Manx Footy pod. But yeah, so we apologise. We are trying to knock them out, as it were, as regularly as we can. It were misses. But yeah, you've been busier than the Jurgen Klopp fullback this week though, Dave, haven't you? You're gathering audio aplenty over the last couple of weeks to put into this week's episode.
Yeah, it's been good. So yeah, for those of you who think I don't do much work away from the podcast, I managed to catch up with Liam Doyle, obviously, last night.
Yeah.
All the way from San Antonio on Zoom. Obviously, other video platforms are available. I should throw that out there. Yeah, and then obviously when Max Murley won the Player of the Month last week or the week before, I caught up with him at the bowl just for us a general chat about Laxey's season and how things were going. So yeah, plenty to dive right into.
Before we listen to your exclusive interview with former St George's and St Mary's man Liam Doyle, Dave, we should delve into your chat you had with Laxey midfielder maestro Max Murley, who picked up the Canterlife Premier League Player of the Month award last week. I think it was a double award for Laxey, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Matty Wilkinson won the Young Player of the Month award, but it was the same day that he was going back to university.
Yeah.
So obviously he wasn't able to attend, but yeah, it just reflects on what's been a good start to the season for Laxey. And now I know obviously results the last couple of weeks, before last week they did lose, didn't they, I think, but they bounced back last week, so it's been a good start for the Miners.
Right, let's have a listen to what Max had to say now.
Hi Max, congratulations, you're the latest Player of the Month again. You should be starting to get used to this, aren't you?
Thanks very much. Yeah, it's nice. It's I think this one, maybe my teammate Wilco might deserve this one more than me. But no, it's been a good start for us. It's again John Palmer's pre-season, making us run up past Lexi Wheel, up to Agnesia's helping out. So good set of results for August. Shame about the last two. But yeah, no complaints.
Well, I was at the Corinthians game last weekend and it was one of those you could quite easily could have walked away with some points on the board from that. It was just a topsy-turvy game and you played well. You pushed Corinthians hard in that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I think we obviously be going to it with like nothing to lose. It's quite nice to be the underdog, and if you come away with some points then it's all the pressure on them really. Obviously we did that 7 or 8 minute spell which was we fell apart a bit at the back, but to come back and actually push them towards the end just shows, you know, team's got good character this year. And I think last year we're just kind of moving on where we would have accepted defeat straight away, so we're getting there.
That's exactly the next question I was going to make, because obviously last season you stole the headlines in a lot of ways last season, having just beaten relegation the season before to then challenging in the top four etc. last year.
Yeah.
This season you've gone one step further, and the results, like obviously Peel, yeah, earlier this season, like coming from behind the way you did, getting again against St Mary's down here at the bowl, two goals down, getting a draw. That never says die attitude is in that squad, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's new this year. Everyone just kind of, again, same kind of team, might be one or two new additions, but
yeah,
everyone's kind of realising we've actually got a good set of players. And last year we would have kind of maybe rolled over a bit, I think. And now, I think hopefully now people kind of don't enjoy playing us. I mean, we maybe not might not play the best football on the pitch, but it's going to be a bit of a, you're going to know you've played us kind of thing, which is nice to kind of be a scrappy team as such and actually get involved and, yeah, make it hard for the top teams.
Good. And obviously now, one of the reasons Matty isn't here today is obviously because he's now jetted off back to, yeah, uni to live his lifestyle over there. But you're going to lose a few players to uni.
Yeah.
Obviously that's going to affect you. But do you think that's going to be counteracted by obviously other teams are going to lose players to FC Alamann now, aren't they?
Yeah, big time. I think it's really interesting with the whole, especially, you know, you look at Corinthians and Geordies and Russian in there as well. But I know we've got really good depth at the moment, and we ran through before, you can almost replace man for man the guys going to uni. Some other teams, I don't know what the depth is like. Obviously St Mary's have not got their combi, obviously still good players there, but it's going to make it a much more level playing field, hopefully. So hopefully you will be getting more teams kind of there and thereabouts at the top. I still think Russian are the team to beat this year.
Yep.
But No, it should make it more, definitely make it more interesting. I've already been looking at the fixtures for FC to see when we've got Corinthians and yeah. the Hurst guys again. But yeah, no, it should be definitely make it more interesting, I think, this year.
So what's the target now for this season? You know, obviously, you've had a good start to the year. Mm. What's next? I mean, I assume in the immediate, you're looking at a Railway Cup spot,
yeah,
I guess.
I think, yeah, we have our, obviously, you know, every team's got their WhatsApp or Facebook chat or whatever. Ours was, you know, we kind of kept going about top five as our minimum, but now we're kind of, I think we're going to move that and try and move it to top four. Don't see why not, really, with the results we've had at the start of the year.
Yeah.
It's obviously going to have to be, you know, I think most people will agree it's Corinthians and Russian at the top two.
Yeah.
Then you still need another couple of teams to drop off. And, you know, it's kind of between maybe, say, us, Peel, Marys. I don't know how Geordies are doing this year with, like, who they're going to lose, but someone's got to drop out, so we may as well kind of try and push in there and see what we can do. Yeah, it's almost that kind of, it's that whole underdog, why not us kind of
yeah.
view on it for us. So yeah, give it a go, eh?
And a possible cup run as well?
That's, yeah, I think obviously, especially if that's maybe towards the end of the year, maybe some of the lads are back. They're not just going to waltz in the squad. John's pretty good at, if you just come back from uni, you're not going to walk in if someone's been playing well when you've been away. So I think a cup run would be brilliant for us. I think we didn't get too far last year with some like Corinthians early on, maybe Russian. But yeah, cup run and top four would be a great start for us and kind of bridge that gap. And then maybe you'll be able to, we don't want to attract the wrong people, but you know, we're not a team who's going to bring many people in, but just one or two each year is nice. So.
Well, who's not going to want to play with the reigning player of the month, you know?
I can think of a few people.
Lovely stuff as always, Dave. I love it. I love an out and about interview from you. It's always makes me feel like I'm there as well.
Well, that's what I aim for, mate.
Well, if that was your Norton start for 10, time for the main course. You've been racking up your mum and dad's phone bill again, haven't you?
Yeah, they bloody hate having me back in the house for the last few months. It's great, but yeah. So obviously, I caught up with Liam, and yeah, it was a good interview. Obviously, touched on FC Alamann and other things. From stateside.
Yeah, we'll have a chat. I'll listen to that in a sec. But the news is he's moved to a new club in the USL, which is the second tier of American professional football, just below the MLS. Obviously, he started the season with Memphis FC, which is Tim Howard's club, isn't it?
It is. Yes, I did name drop Tim Howard into this interview.
Clang.
Of course, had to be done.
But he's made a short. I say short move. It's 700 miles, but looks short in sort of American geographic terms to San Antonio. Who have already secured their place in the USL playoffs, haven't they?
Yes, they've had a fantastic season. And the manager, Alan Messina, was very keen, obviously, to sign Liam. He's been impressed. He's been keeping an eye on him for a while, by the sounds of it. But as Liam will tell you now, it was a bit of a whirlwind. You know, the whole move happened very quickly. But yeah, so as you say, San Antonio have done well. So they've got the playoffs coming up soon, which Liam's hoping to feature in.
So let's have a listen to what Liam had to say now.
How are you guys doing anyway?
Good, mate. Yeah, obviously everything happened so quick last week and there's not long left in the season, probably a month, 6 weeks. So, yeah, it just happened fast. But we're doing well.
Yeah, good. Well, obviously, I mean, we'll talk about it a bit more in depth. But obviously the team are in the playoffs. Is that right? Well, they finished the season unbeaten. That's correct, isn't
it? Well, there's two regular season games left and then playoffs. So hopefully they'll win the regular season title and then it's into playoffs regardless. And then obviously over here, the team that wins the playoffs is seen as the champion. But I think regular season's a big achievement as well.
So obviously you'll be hoping to play a part in that then. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's the aim for sure.
How did the move come about? You mentioned it's been a bit of a whirlwind, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. So I played in North Carolina near 2 weeks ago now on a Thursday, and then we were there for a long trip to play Thursday, Sunday. And on the Thursday game, I'd hurt my knee, so I was out on Sunday. And then I have a friend who used to play for the coach here, and he was like, Alan called me from San Antonio. He's interested in you. He's been watching you. He likes you. You know, he'd spoke about me and his opinions and blah, blah, blah. And I took it with a pinch of salt, like, oh, it might be something that comes up in the off season. And then I heard something else from a former coach of mine who Alan had spoke to as well. And I was just like, well, this is, you know, it's getting a bit of traction now. And I just said to my agent, hey, this is kind of, these talks have, you know, been held between one of my old teammates, one of my old coaches. And he was like, oh, I'll reach out to Alan tomorrow. And then they spoke and it wasn't a case of we want you next season. It was like, no, I want you now. So I was like, oh, you know, I was a bit shocked because they're flying, obviously, lost one game, top of the league, secured playoffs. But yeah, that's how it kind of came about.
So it's obviously quite a vote of confidence in you as well. You've got a team that's fighting up there at the top of the league that want you to come in and do a job. You know, you say they've got two games left of the season and then the playoffs. So have you sort of had that talk about what sort of playing time you're going to get? Or is it just getting to training, impress them, and then see where it goes from there?
Kind of like indirectly. I'd spoke to Alan when, you know, I was still had a decision to make because, you know, things weren't great at Memphis in many ways, but you still settled somewhere and you still got to move your family, blah, blah, blah. So I just said to him on the phone, you know, what you see is my role for now. And he just said, I want you to come in and make an immediate impact. So I guess it's in my hands to train well and play well and hopefully can get into the team, whether it's this Saturday or next Saturday or for the playoffs, then obviously aiming to do that.
Well, Alan spoke on the website, didn't he? He said about, you know, your versatility and your experience. I mean, this is now, what is this, your fifth club in the last 5 years, is it? So you're getting quite a bit of experience now at different clubs, aren't you? Which is obviously something good to bring into the team.
Yeah, I think obviously Nashville's probably been the only club I've settled at for a longer period. And yeah, this will be my fifth club. And obviously I have a lot of experience now. I'm coming up to 150 games soon. So I'm 28. So yeah, I think there's a playing side of it, and then there's the leadership side and organisation stuff. So obviously that's become a big part of my game over the past couple of years, and something that, you know, you never know who's watching or what they're seeing. And obviously people were watching even when we were struggling, and even I've had my own struggles this year. So that's football, I guess.
Well, yeah, how do you assess your time at Memphis overall? Because, I mean, you made 21 appearances, haven't you? And obviously it's been a very strange year with everything going on. But overall, has it been a positive experience, or, you know, how would you assess it?
I think I learned a lot there. I think it's a tough challenge for any player there in terms of, like, obviously the manager just got sacked, to some of us were very close with him. You know, without saying too much, I think it would be tough for any manager in them circumstances, in terms of, like, I think the structure and club on the inside isn't perfect, and I think that relayed onto the field as well. And could I have played better? Could other lads have played better? Absolutely. There was games where I was way below par, no matter what was going on. But I think there's a lot that can be improved there to help whoever is playing, you know, or manage and be more successful. I guess that would be the most political way to put it.
So how are you finding the setup then? You've gone from Memphis now. What's it like in San Antonio? What are your first impressions there?
So the setup here is first class. It's nigh on MLS. So it's probably one of the best in the USL in terms of, like, I'm sure you've seen the stadium.
Yeah, fantastic.
The training ground's right here too. It's 100 yards from the stadium. There's 14 grass pitches. The first team has their own one that they use in the academy. It's meals before and after training every day, two physios, massage therapist.
It's all very professional, just, yeah.
It's very professional. It's something that's rare in USL. There's not many teams that are doing it like this, especially in COVID. So I'm at a place now where the structure, environment, and the club's first class. And I feel like I need to take it, if that makes sense. And, you know, I need to do well and kick on with it.
Definitely. And obviously you mentioned family before. How are Brittany and Ollie settling in? Are they, you know, how's the move been for them?
Because there's not long left in the season. Initially, I'm here on my own for now. And they're going to visit in 2 weeks. And then we're going to all move together in November before Christmas. And then we'll probably go off somewhere for Christmas and stuff. So I just didn't, literally, I signed it on the Wednesday and I flew out Thursday morning, so I just didn't want to drag them all over right away.
Yeah, the lifestyle of a footballer in America, right? It's quite something, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously nothing's close either over here, you know, like San Antonio's 10 hours from Memphis, which is kind of close in America, but if that's the UK, it's an hour down the road, so everything's miles away.
Yeah, well, Andy was saying at work the other day, we were talking about the distances and stuff, and it's not like in the UK, you just hop on a train for a couple of hours and you're, you know, London to Edinburgh, whatever the hell it might be. You're talking like a 10-hour, 15-hour, getting on the Greyhound or whatever it is. It's a bit, yeah. So it's all on a grand scale. So,
you're on the... On Thursday last week, they flew me out, and it was like two flights you had to connect. So it's still a long day in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So we last spoke to you back in May. Obviously, we were sort of, well, certainly over here, we were in the height of lockdown, and obviously it was over there for you guys. And obviously, very difficult year in many regards. But aside from, like, you know, we touched on the behind the scenes difficulties with Memphis, but how have the last few months been for you? I mean, you guys had your break from like February, March time. You got back playing in July, didn't you? And how's it? Is it returning to some semblance of normality over there in some ways, or is it still obviously very challenging, isn't it?
I feel like masks are part of the dress code now, that you have to wear them to go in places. Obviously, there's the odd person who doesn't abide, but in America, I feel like everything's at 50% capacity. Everyone's taking as many precautions as they can. I don't think there's any sign of another lockdown. I think it's going to stay like this, and there's talk of a vaccine coming soon. So, like, in terms of the playing side, we get tested every week. We're expected to just do essential things, and for the most part, you know, we do. And, you know, otherwise you can't play. So, and then you put your teammate at risk. So,
yeah,
it's new normal, I guess.
I don't know whether you've seen it. Obviously, the English League Cup is on at the moment, and so Leighton Orient's game with Tottenham last night was called off because several of the Leighton Orient players were tested positive. Has there been much in the way of that sort of disruption? Have you had games called off at the last minute? Has there been, yeah, what's it been like in that regard?
Not personally, but there's a team in our division, San Antonio. They've had a bunch cancelled, and over in LA Galaxy, I feel like either the area is bad that they're in and they're just getting it, or they're not treating the protocols right or something. But in terms of like the amount of players and teams, it's been minimal, but it seems that like one or two teams have like been hit hard as opposed to the whole league. Yeah.
Here in the Isle of Man, we're obviously in a fortunate position. I'm sure you'll have been in contact with your family and friends back here. You know what it's like over here. And so now we've got the football season's in full flow at the moment. We obviously had the FC Isle of Man, their inaugural game. Did you manage to watch any of that? Because it was all streamed online. Obviously, you're busy over there, but did you get to
catch? I did, yeah. I had a game that evening. I watched it in the hotel on an away trip. It was good. It was great to see that the stream was good. It was a good game, definitely deserved to win as well. Good crowd as well. It was good to see.
Definitely, definitely. And they've had the return game, so it's all going to be interesting now to see what happens, whether the FC Isle of Man, I mean, they've just postponed their first two games of the league season. Obviously, with the border restrictions. So, obviously, it remains to be seen what will happen going forward. But I know we've touched on this in the past, but how are you feeling towards the FC Isle of Man thing? It's a great move, isn't it, for Manx football?
No, I love it, definitely. I think it's the way forward. I know the first week there was a bit of backlash because there was a few fixtures cancelled. But I did understand why they cancelled it, because it was a squad of 24 opposed to 16. So the same clubs would have been hit more than usual. So I did understand that. And in terms of will it get played this year, I think the best bet is that it gets pushed back and back, like the whole league, because I'm not so sure that it will even kick off anyway on time over there. So
no, well, obviously the British government only announced yesterday, didn't they, that the fans aren't going to return for the foreseeable, are they? So it would make sense for them to just, as you say, put everything back.
Yeah, and if it starts in January or February, you'd have a better chance of being able to play with the restrictions. But just listening to some of the coronavirus updates from the Isle of Man, I just don't know when they're ever going to move forward. Everyone's comfortable that the borders are shut. Obviously, there's still some people suffering who are in the tourism industry and stuff, but whenever or how they make that decision, I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like it anyway.
Yeah, it all remains to be seen, doesn't it? But have you been pestering Paul Jones for a shirt yet, an FC Isle of Man shirt? Get it up on your wall there in San Antonio?
I attempted to bid for the Frank Jones signed their first game on that they were auctioning off, but I haven't. I will get a shirt, definitely.
In return, Frank could be wearing a Liam Doyle San Antonio shirt in the Isle of Man.
I was just going to say, I do hope I get to play. I more feel for the older players, maybe like your Sean Quays and Callum Morrissey's and that, who, you know, obviously their time is closer to the end than the young lads. And if it gets delayed another year, I'm not sure what it would mean for them. So I hope they get to play.
Definitely, mate. I think it's a very exciting time for Manx football, despite everything that's going on with the border restrictions. But we'll turn our attentions back to you guys over there in San Antonio. So, well, obviously, we've talked about it already, that the season, the regular season, is nearly at an end with two games left to go. But there are playoffs in sight. You're hoping, obviously, to play a part in that. But longer term, next season, provided that the season goes ahead as normal, what are your aims for that? Obviously, to get a good run in the side.
Yeah, well, the way the deal happened, San Antonio had took my contract on from Memphis, so I have guaranteed next year, then an option the year after. So yeah, hope just coming in now early will put me in good stead, I think, for next year, because, you know, I get used to it quicker and the style system, and yeah, just getting myself back into full form and settled. I think one thing about the Memphis situation would be I was never fully settled, I don't think, in terms of maybe on and off the field. So just getting settled, feeling at home, and hopefully getting back to playing my best football in a system that will suit me and a successful team.
Well, you boast a very good CV. Like, personally, obviously, you've been named in Teams of the Year and, you know, defensive stars and all that. So, you know, you've got good pedigree already in the league, haven't you? And it's about building on that going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think what you tend to realise is the more you play is, and you see this at the highest level, you need to be in the team and system that suits you. Like, you can be as good as you want. And I think, like, Man United would be an example of that. Recently, they've signed, you know, what would be some of the better players in the transfer market. It's not worked. And then you look at your Liverpools, who are signing people who fit the way they play. And I think, like, Alan headhunting me here, obviously he's watched me for a while, and, you know, they play a back three. I'm strongest in the middle of a back three, like, organised and leading, getting on the ball. So hopefully I can take that and find my best form and have a good run.
How do you assess the quality of the league in general? Because obviously now you've got a few years under your belt. How does it compare to when you first started? Because, I mean, soccer in America is continually improving, really, isn't it? Well, that's the impression we get anyway.
Yeah, I think it's definitely stronger than it was when I first started. There's a lot, like, in my team now here in San Antonio, there's a lot of young South Americans, like Argentinians, that have a lot of interest from MLS and overseas. And I feel like initially it was maybe more of an older league for MLS lads coming down, who are coming towards the end, but they've tended to struggle when they're down because it's a young, fast, competitive league. So I feel like, you know, the experienced lads who are like later 20s are doing well, and the younger lads coming through are making a big impression on the league.
Back in Memphis, you had the legend that is Tim Howard in and around the club. Is there anyone a similar character that's there at San Antonio who stood out for you amongst the playing staff or the coaching, away from Alan, like just in the club in general?
There's a number 10, a young Argentinian lad. He's called Christian. Christian, he's phenomenal. Left-footed, like, he's like 5'5", 21 years old, and just the way he moves and carries the ball, it's crazy to say, but he reminds you a little bit of Messi, the way he takes players on and stuff. He's phenomenal. He's been impressive. I've done 2 full days of team training, so he's like, look, he's got something special.
So he's one to watch out for in the future then. So
yeah.
So when are you looking at your first game then? Do you think you mentioned before you might possibly be involved this weekend. So who have you guys got? What are the fixtures like? You've got Tulsa, is it?
Yeah, Tulsa away on Saturday, and then Austin away the Sunday after, and then into playoffs. So yeah, 2 regular season and then straight into the thick of playoffs.
Excellent, mate. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. You know, obviously, we all wish you the best over there. I think, I like, everyone in the Manx football community will join me in saying, you know, we're all sort of proud of what you're doing over there. You've forged a really good career. And you obviously get quite a lot of support from back home as well, don't you?
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate that for sure. It's always good to catch up and try and listen to the podcast when I can.
We try our best, but, you know, no, honestly, mate, it's always good to catch up with you. And so I just hope all goes well. Keep in touch. And, you know, I hope, obviously, Brittany and Ollie settle in well as well. And obviously, we'll be keeping in touch.
Tremendous stuff as always, Dave. It's always nice to hear from Liam, even via the wonders of the internet. So I suppose we should echo what we said before the interview. Good luck to him and San Antonio in the upcoming playoffs. They were unbeaten, weren't they, going into that?
Yeah, they were. I think Liam alluded to it last night that they might have lost one game just this week. But either way, it's been a great season for them. It was interesting to hear towards the end of that interview there. Obviously, we were talking about FC Alaman and we've got the auction coming up for the supporters club, and so Liam says he's going to put a bid in for one of the shirts. It'll be interesting to see if we can get an FC Alaman shirt up in San Antonio.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I've told him that if that happens, it has to be a Frank Jones shirt.
Right.
I think get that signed, and then Frank Jones needs to get a San Antonio shirt.
Yes.
Sell that for auction over here somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be great, yeah. Right, without further ado, let's have a quick look ahead to Saturday's fixtures in the Canada Life Premier League and, of course, JCK Division 2, the best league in Europe. Right, we'll kick off in the top flight because there's an absolute humdinger potentially in store at Croydon Larry this weekend, isn't there, Dave?
There is. It's the match where I'm going to go to. Well, it's the top two. It's the one that everyone's looking at as a title decider. Well, one of the two title deciders, should we say. But, yeah, it's Russian versus Corinthians. This should be a cracker.
Well, Russian, I watched them. I had a rare outing a couple of weeks ago against St Mary's when Steve Priestnell continues to roll back the years with a couple of cracking goals. Russian, to me, I know they were missing Adam Kuhl and Alex Maitland, who were away with FC Alaman that weekend, but just weren't quite in top gear that afternoon. And St Mary's took advantage of that to get a well-earned point because Russian were a couple of goals up at that one stage in that match, and you think, well, they'll just see out the match now, but it didn't quite pan out like that. Obviously, I should say Dean Cairns was away as well, their regular first-choice goalkeeper. They're all going to be the back this week, though, aren't they? Corinthians as well, obviously, missing six that weekend.
They
beat Moran that week. But, yeah, if everyone's available, this, as I've said, this should be an absolute cracker, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it really should have been. Obviously, both go into it in decent form, aside from that draw. Russian have won six and drawn one, and Corinthians have won all six of their games so far. Last weekend, Russian, they were made to work hard by air. It was only 2-0 in the end. Goals from Jamie Johnston and Fruit Davies, whereas Corinthians had a slightly easier day at the office, shall we say. They hammered St John's 10-1. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the sharpness is, how the teams line up as well. Obviously, there's a lot of strength and depth in both squads. But all signs point to this being a really good game. And, you know, obviously, Russian are in a strong position. Corinthians in a strong position. You'd have to say whoever wins this game has to be favourites for the title after this.
Even in September?
Yeah, I just think... Yeah, I mean, obviously, we can't rule out the likes of Geordies in this. They're having a good season. You know, it's still pretty close at the top, but you just think that momentum, it's that buzzword we like to say. Even this early in the season, it could carry them far.
There's a couple of points I think I'm going to make. You've already mentioned St George's, and I think... What was the hallmarks of their title-winning teams was their ability to get a result when they weren't playing particularly well.
Yeah.
And the amount of times they toiled in the first half, probably got a rollicking from Bassey, and came out and steamrolled the team in the start of the second half. You lose count, really, you know, over the years, how many times that happened. I'm not sure. I know I've only watched them once, and I know, and again, I'll caveat that there were players missing. If Russian quite have that yet? Corinthians, to me, seem to have stepped up a gear again this season. They're putting teams away that perhaps in previous years they would have maybe struggled. 10-1 over St John's, that's a standout result to me. I know St John's are toiling down the bottom of the league, but they're a hard-working team and usually quite hard to break down.
Definitely.
So to concede 10 goals, to put 10 goals past them, that to me is a...
I agree with you. It's a massive result. It's a standout result there, isn't it?
Now, having said all that, I'm probably going to sit on the Dave Norton Memorial fence this week and say probably going to be a draw. Would you agree, or would you say home advantage maybe tips this in Russian's favour?
No, I think I've got to go with you on this one. I reckon it probably will end up being a draw. Whether or not the sides are going to be too concerned about dropping points in this point in the season, I don't know. So neither will want to give an inch. So it's going to be so close, and I'm with you on that. I think it will end up with the points being shared.
I don't think this is a title decider as yet. I think this will give us an indication of where it's going. I also think we've got to factor in now FC Alaman.
Yeah.
We should point out now, there's been no official news. We both looked on the Northwest Counties Football League website this morning on the various social media. There's no statement being made about their season start. Now, we already know the FC Alamann had already postponed their first two fixtures, and they against Wythenshawe Town and Chorlton and West Isbury. So they weren't going to play in that first week in October. Now, that's what we've seen before with the North West Counties Football League is they're pretty adamant they weren't going to start their season until spectators were allowed in watch their clubs, because that is the lifeblood of the club, the money that comes in over the bar, that comes in over the gate, etc. In the light of what's happened this week in the UK, to me, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
I think there's going to be a delay, and possibly a lengthy one on the start of this
season. Yeah, that's something, obviously Liam mentioned before in that interview, he was saying it makes sense in a lot of ways to just delay the start of the season, maybe until January, etc. And if that's the case, then, it's got to be done with the welfare of everyone first and foremost. And obviously, we do want to see the Ravens play, but we just have to wait and see with it. But as you say, the FC Alamann, it's a huge factor in the local leagues with this, and it does remain to be seen. If the best players aren't going off every week, every other week, then that's going to obviously impact on the Premier League, isn't it? So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Well, it's a fascinating game on Saturday, and of course, as you already mentioned, you'll be there. Please do follow @Manx40Pod on Twitter for all the updates from that match. Dave's even got a brand new phone, so you might even get some in match video clips, might you?
Yes. I did manage to get one last week. I don't know if you've seen it. It was Nathan Cardy's goal for St George's, but I wasn't exactly in the prime position for it. I was just packing my stuff up at the end of the game, and then all of a sudden there was a Geordie's counter attack. So got the phone on and managed to just about capture the goal, but it wasn't the best footage. But it was a great little finish from Nathan, though. He absolutely minced the defender. So, we'll see how this Saturday goes.
Roads probably do lead to Port Erin this weekend, but there are some other good games in the top flight this Saturday if you're out and about. We'll start up at Ballaclone, Ramsey versus Douglas Royal. Two teams quite closely matched in the league. Two young squads, actually, Dave. This should be a good game to watch if you're in the north of the island.
Definitely. Well, Ramsey, they were perhaps a little unlucky last week. They went down fighting to Peel. They were 1-0 up in that game, and then in the end, goals from Danny Lane and Scott Horn turned it around for the Westerners. But it shows you that Ramsey are plodding along quite nicely. They've already got 3 wins this season. They're firmly in mid-table, as are Royal. They've got 2 wins and a draw. So, for both sides, it's been a decent enough start. Royal go into this on the back of that 4-1 win over Old Boys last week, so they'll be full of confidence. So it's going to be an intriguing clash, and it's a difficult one to call with this one. I actually think Royal might just sneak this one.
I think I'm going to go on the other side of the fence and save Ramsey, to be honest, because I just looking at that, Royal's minus 20 goal difference suggests that things aren't quite right in defence yet. Now, I know this is Royal fans are probably going to be shouting at it, the ones that listen to us, that will be like, well, at the start of the season, you didn't say they didn't have a goal scorer. We scored 4 goals last night. Now you're slagging off the defence. I think they're a work in progress. And I think Ramsey might just sneak this one, especially on the Ballaclone, the hallowed turf of Ballaclone.
Well, yeah, I think it's obviously going to be a close one. There's a couple of players from both these teams that are featured in the latest team of the week, so pick up your indie today for that. Selfless plug there, but it's going to be an intriguing game. There's a possibility that Rory Poole might go along and watch this, but either way, it's definitely a result to watch out for.
Elsewhere, St John's welcome Laxey to Mullany Cloy. St John's obviously be licking their wounds after that 10-1 defeat. That's a heavy defeat for them, and one, as I said already when we're talking about Corinthians, one they don't really, that stands out to me, they don't really concede that many goals, so they'll need to bounce back. But Laxey, as you said, got a win at the weekend. They're still in the hunt for the Railway Cup, aren't they? And need to keep winning if they want to be in that top four come the halfway mark of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Laxey, as you say, they won last weekend. It was a 6-1 win over Moran. Mikey Fernandez getting a hat-trick. And so, again, they go into this in fine fettle. And I think they'll just be looking to continue that. They'll obviously start as favourites. How St John's react, as you say, it'll be interesting to see. Callum Taggart will have been working his players hard this week in training and looking for some sort of response, but I have to say I think the Miners are favourites.
Elsewhere, Douglas Athletic take on Peel at Springfield Road. Athletic on 10 points at the moment, Peel on 6. Probably not what we would have predicted at the start of the season, but Peel's youngsters are slowly starting to find their feet. You mentioned Scott Horn, he was one that was talked about in the pre-season pull-up 4-5-1. He's one of the ones they're saying, you know, he's got a bright future ahead of him in the game. This will be a close game, this, won't it?
Sorry. Yeah, I agree. Also, you know, you talk about the young players there. In terms of experience, Luke Doherty was back last week.
For Peel, yeah.
For Peel. And he's a massive plus for them. Eric Clegg was at that match last week, and he alluded to that. So he's a huge plus. They'll be looking to those sort of players, him and Matty Woods, etc., whilst the likes of Lee Gale and Rhys Oates are still sidelined. So, yeah, it's a tough season for Peel. You know, obviously Athletic, they'll be up for this one. You know, they will probably fancy their chances of getting a win. They didn't play last week, so, you know, it remains to be seen what sort of shape they're in, but it's going to be a close game. I think the Pinks are probably just going to sneak this one.
I'm going for a draw. I think it's a coupon booster this week, to be honest. Elsewhere, St George's take on Ayr United. This, again, it should be a close game. Ayr have already shown that they've come up and are not here just to make up the numbers, aren't they? And Geordie's a cracking win last week over St Mary's at the game you were at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us saw that result coming, did we? I mean, it was just one of those days where that was the Geordies of old, the ruthless streak was there. They didn't have loads of chances. They just took them when they arrived. Obviously, Conor Hislop got a hat-trick and did well. You know, St Mary's could have been winning that in the first half hour. Frank Jones hit the woodwork. They'd created quite a few chances. It just wasn't to be for them. And then 3 goals in 7 minutes just turned the game on its head. So, yeah, Geordie's absolutely flying. You know, Johnny Myers has got the team playing well. It's an interesting blend of youth and experience in that squad as well. So with this one, we'll push them hard, but I fancy Geordie's for the win in this one.
Last game in the Canolef Premier League this weekend sees Douglas High School All Boys welcome St Mary's to Blackberry Lane. All Boys picked up a couple of wins out of their 7 games so far, but St Mary's, to me, are a bit higher up the league and should perhaps go into this one as slight favourites.
Yeah, they will. I mean, you know, you could almost put that down to a freak result last week. You know, they've got the quality in the squad. You already talked about the result 2 weeks ago against Russian, digging deep with Steve Priestnell grabbing goals. They've got such good quality in that squad. Obviously, the loss of Alex Harrison to injury at the moment is bad. He'll be out for a little while yet, so he's a huge loss. But they still got the likes of Carl Clark there, and a really good team. I think they need to settle that squad a little bit. Really, I think there's been a lot of chopping and changing in recent weeks. But again, with this one, you know, you'd think they'd have too much for Old Boys who are in a bit of transition as well. But having said that, they've also signed a few of their old guard, haven't they?
Yes, Chris Cox and Martin King, I believe, are back on board. So King, on his day against his former club, could he'll be relishing a tussle with Steedo, no doubt.
He certainly will. So yeah, it should be an interesting game, but I think St Mary's will get the points.
JCK Division 2, 6 games in this one as well. Of course, all Saturday's games are half 2 kickoffs. We kick off it at the Nivison Stadium, where Onken welcome Foxdale, and probably what is the game of the day in the second tier this weekend.
It is, and we should hopefully have a report on this one, shouldn't we?
Tom Curfey, our former under-18s league correspondent, has stepped out of the international wilderness to come back and do a report for us this weekend, so he's going to do Onken Foxdale for us. This should be a close game, this. Onken have shown their classic Jekyll and Hyde tendencies already this season, but we'll be gunning to get the points off Foxdale, won't they, and sort of propel themselves into that Paul Henry mix.
Yeah, definitely. As you say, they're right next to each other in the table. Onken are currently fourth on 13 points, and Foxdale are only one place and 1 point behind them, having played a game less. So, yeah, all signs point to it being a close game. Both picked up good wins last week. Foxdale beat Castletown 5-1, and Onken beat Michael 7-1. So, and the O's seem to have the old guard back as well. Paul Whitley bagging a hat trick. Wolfie's involved. Joe Rees is getting the goal. So Skippy Lancaster, obviously. So, this will be a close game. I'm actually going to sit on the fence in this one. I'm going to call a draw.
I think you're probably right. I watched the corresponding fixture of this couple of years ago, and Onken, Frogstar went into it really good form. I think it was around Christmas time, and Onken actually took the win on that day, sort of turned the form book on its head in some respects. But yeah, I think it is going to be tight, but I just think Dale might just edge this. Jay Chatwood seems to be, I found his scoring books again this season. And he scored eight the other week.
He got a hat-trick last week against Castletown, so yeah, he's banging them in. We haven't seen the Silver Boot standings yet, but he'll be right up there as always.
I think he might just tip things in the visitor's favour. Ramsey Centre Old Boys take on Douglas District at School Rigori. D&D have started to creep back down the table after a great start under life under Andrew Dosser, haven't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked Jacqueline Hard. You just have to look at D&D's, the standings on the table. 4 wins and 4 defeats. It shows you it's completely split. This is going to be tough for them. Youthy are one of the teams to watch. Obviously, we've tipped them to get promoted this season. And you know, they showed it. They had a good 6-1 win last week against Governors, whereas D&D went down 8-2 to Malou. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough game for the Nobles Park outfit. Northerners will be well up for this, and I think they'll get the 3 points.
Yeah, I think you're probably just about right. I think it'll be close. Yeah, I think it'll be 3 or 4. Maybe closer than that. Yeah, I think it'll be a close match up north. Elsewhere, Malou versus Michael United takes place at Clackvane. Now, I think if my memory serves, this game has spawned the record goals defeat in Manx football, I think. Or was it a cup game?
Possibly. What was the score in this one?
26-0.
Wow.
Something I can't remember. Eric will no doubt be writing in already because I've got that heinously wrong. But yes, Malou versus Michael. Malou were boosted this week, we should start with, by 3 points from a match they lost.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, we should put this out. Hattie was down a few weeks ago when Castletown beat Malou in the Southern Derby, but as it turns out, Castletown fielded an eligible player, so obviously they've been docked the 3 points and Malou have been given the 3 points, so that obviously alters the table somewhat. I said before that Foxdale were fifth, actually Malou have now gone up to fifth.
Yeah.
Foxdale is sixth, sorry about that. Whether that means that they've ended their hoodoo at Clagvane over Castletown, because I remember Hattie said it was something 1984 or something. So on a technicality, I guess they've ended that run now. But Malou, as I say, they won 8-2 last week. Doran Tatar got 4 goals. Good headline, but I missed an absolute sitter, didn't I, with the Tatar for now, as Rory suggested on Twitter the other day. So apologies for that, but. Anyway, there should be plenty of goals in this game, I would have thought.
Yeah, Malou should start this one as favourites. We should also point out Michael is still looking for players. If you haven't found the right club yet this season, please do get yourself down to Bolero Road there, where you'll be greeted with open arms. I think Malou will probably nick the points in this one.
Agreed.
Castown versus Braddon should be another close game, but perhaps in the visitors' favour.
Yeah, I think so. Castletown, it's a transitional season. It's that key word again, but it is. They've got a young side there, so they'll go into this as underdogs. Braddon go into it on the back of a good 4-2 win against the previously informed Colby. That's a huge confidence booster for them. They're steadily going up the table a bit now, Braddon. They're seventh at the moment, but they're still right in the mix there for a top four place. There's only a point or two in it, so they'll be full of confidence, and I expect them to get the points on offer.
Talking about teams that are maybe downwardly mobile, is that the correct term? Governors Athletic probably fit that bill. After a cracking start to the season, they are now slipped down to fourth bottom with only the 2 early wins, almost a fading memory up at, put Bama Hay, but now it's down at Colby.
Down Colby, yeah.
They travel to Gary Moore and Union Mills this weekend, and Mills sit top of the pile with only that one defeat to their name against Youthy. Plus 43 goal difference, should be firm favourites for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's... they're certainly firm favourites in this one, the Millers. I think Governors as you said, their form has dipped a bit, but they're also in a tough run of fixtures. Last week, obviously, went up against Youthy. Now they're up against the leaders. So it doesn't get any easier for them at the moment. But, you know, they'll put up a good fight. But the Millers for this one, they've got so many goals in that team. I think they'll just carry on at the top of the table.
There will also be goals in the final game in JCK Division 2. I'm boldly making that prediction. As Colby welcome bottom of the table, Paul Rose to the station fields. Colby's nicely sat in third at the moment, ready to pounce if Youthy or indeed Mills slip up. Paulie are on minus 90 goal difference. We were talking about them just before we started recording. Credit to keep going, lads. Fair play. But yes, Colby, especially with the... They have a... It seems to be able to score across the team. They've got lots of goal scorers in that side again.
Yeah.
Should be looking at double figures maybe in this match.
I think so. I mean, obviously, they'll be hurting from that defeat to Braddon last week, Colby. That was that ripped up the form book somewhat. So, yeah, they'll be keen to bounce back. They're going to be firm favourites, as you say. Plenty of goals in this one. Pulley, you know, the results are getting better for them. We were talking double digits only a few weeks ago. It's come down a little bit. Hopefully they're managing to get a few extra players in and just hopefully things will settle down a little bit. But again, the Moonlight is a firm favourite in this one.
Right, my favourite time of the week, Dave reads the weather.
I know we've got a bit of a weather warning in place at the moment, but the rain will hopefully end tonight. But tomorrow's going to be cold and dry. Possibly some scattered showers later on, but then into Saturday and it'll be cold and dry. So hopefully the pitchers will survive the weather.
Have I done this the wrong way around this week? I think, haven't I? It's usually, it can't be corner now then.
Well, you like to mix things up every now and then. But we talked about Corinthians first team in free scoring form, but we have to talk about their combi. I mean, the first team won 10-1, the combi won 15-0 against St John's. No doubt the star of the show. It's that man again, Adam McCulloch, just got the 7 goals this time. Joe Middleton and Tom O'Neill both also got hat-tricks from Mark O'Neill. And Cam Lee also got a goal, so it's good to see him back.
Yeah. Great player, Cameron.
Yeah, he'll be a big plus for the first team once he's ready for it. So that's 6 out of 6 for Corinthians. They're sitting pretty at the top. Peel, they're their closest rivals. They're 2 points behind. They beat Ramsey 3-1 thanks to a hat-trick from Aaron Castain. The evergreen Aaron Castain. I wonder how many combi goals he's up to now for Peel. Laxey, they're also in good form. They had a 7-0 win against Moran. Sam Greasley leading the way with a hat-trick. Then Rushing, 5-0 winners against United. Some good scorers in there, including the likes of Aaron Hawley and Jordan Watson. So another good result for them. Elsewhere, Old Boys were 3-0 winners over Douglas Royal. Dean Keenley grabbing a brace in that one. That league is shaping up now. As I say, Corinthians are 2 points clear and they've got 2 games in hand. Geordies have only played 5 games though, so you still have to factor them into the mix. We'll watch this space. Over in Combi 2, it's a similar story really. Unimills are still 6 wins out of 6. They didn't play last weekend, so behind them, Onken were 4-2 winners over Michael United. George Butler got a hat-trick. Elsewhere, Youthy, they were 5-0 winners over Governors Athletic. Jamie Brew helped himself to a hat-trick. There was a high-scoring win for Colby. They were 6-3 winners over Braddon, but I don't have any details of the Colby goal scorers. And elsewhere, Malou were 5-1 winners over D&D, with Andrew Barber leading the way with a brace.
There you go. I think you mentioned Dean Keenley, obviously, of Old Boys, former goalkeeper, now seems to be goal scorer. Or was he goal scorer, then a goalkeeper, then a goal? Anyway.
Yeah, either way.
Did you see the clip from Hattie this week, one of the Gavin brothers playing for D&D last week?
Oh, of course, yes. Hattie.
We had another goalkeeper scoring after Adam Kimbig scored a couple the week before for Douglas Athletic, didn't he?
He did, yeah. And there's footage of this on YouTube, so check it out. But it was a good little goal, this, wasn't it?
Yeah, cracking goal. But I think we need, back in the day when I used to do the Manx football blog, when blogs were a thing, we had a golden boot race among the goalkeepers. Do you remember? So there was Andy Glover, obviously, who was a mainstay of that. Do you remember Jean-Paul Duarte? He used to play in goal for, I think, Douglas Athletic, maybe, or Police, when it was Police.
One of the Police, yeah.
He used to score a few goals. Also a very handy futsal player, if I remember correctly.
There you go.
Johnny Pinto, I think, is back in goal for St Mary's. I remember bagging a goal or two for back in the day for the Saints.
Yep.
But now, obviously, we got the... forgive me, I can't remember if it was Paul or Will, because another twin.
It's Will Gavin, because I think Paul went off injured, I think.
Right. Will scoring now. Adam's got a couple already this season. I think the race is on, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So, obviously, good luck to them all, and we should probably think of a good prize for them at the end of the season. If there's going to be a golden boot for them, I don't know. If we've got the golden boot for the Premier League, the silver boot for this, should we call it a bronze boot or something?
The bronze boot. Yeah, so, I'll get down to Coles and see what I can find in their bargain bin. Right, that's about it for this week. Please do get in touch if you've got anything you want us to discuss at Manx Footy Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and indeed on the that there Facebook. Right, we should be back next week, Dave.
We'll see how we feel.
We'll see how we feel.
We do have to do some work occasionally.
We do. But I will leave you with the telling theme of this season's podcast. If you have enjoyed it, please do tell your friends. And
Pass the pod.
Pass the pod.